Hey, people who wanted to be an athlete when they grow up and those who didn't. This is Bo Bradley from BMG. My pronouns are they, them, theirs, and he, him, his. And you are listening to episode 47 of the original Bo My God podcast, the show where queer meets world. We're getting into the middle of season 4, and I couldn't be more excited about that. For those who are listening for the very first time, Bo My God is a unique space for trans and gender nonconforming individuals and their allies, to rumble about the things going on in our community, all things queer, what it's like to exist in a world that generally doesn't understand us, and on today's episode, we will be talking with Yunio Martinez, pronouns he, him, el, of Kicking Out Transphobia, and Salem Lemon, they, them, of Rain City Soccer Club. Both Salem and Yunio are athletes and leaders in the field of LGBTQIA plus soccer. Yunio is a member of the IGLFA and the creator of Kicking Out Transphobia, a community project that raises awareness towards the LGBTQIA plus community with an emphasis in the trans and gender nonconforming community who plays soccer. And Salem is the president of Rain City Soccer Club here in Seattle, which we will talk about much more in just a little bit. So today, all three of us are going to be talking about the importance of creating safe spaces for queer athletes to play and create community, the history of both of these organizations, Kicking Out Transphobia and Rain City Soccer Club, and so much more. Before we get into today's episode, I want to briefly share what we talked about last time for those who may have missed it. On episode 46 of Oh My God, we chatted with guest Maybe Burke, whose pronouns are she, her, about the lack of, necessity for, and the basis of inclusive sexual education. We talked about the book she co-authored entitled I Love Orgasms, A Guide to More. We talked about the Trans Literacy Project, which she founded, and so, so much more. So thanks again to Maybe for sharing such personal stories and experience with us, as well as all of her subject matter expertise. I can't say enough good things. Go back and listen to it if you haven't already. Now, I won't keep you waiting any longer, so let's move into today's episode. Yunio and Salem, thank you both so much for being here and joining us on the podcast. Thank you so much for the work that you're doing. And Salem, could you please introduce the listeners, primarily Seattle-based listeners, I will add. So if you could give a background of the organization and your connection to it.
So Rain City Soccer was officially founded in the Seattle area in 2000. And it stems from a grassroots organization that has been around in the area as a group of friends starting as early as 1997. And really one of the intentions and goals of the group was to create within the Seattle area similar things that clubs were creating all across North America, not least of which the West Hollywood Club down in Southern California, the San Francisco Spikes Club in San Francisco, which is also, you know, the founding point for the gay games in North America and now internationally. The club roots that you see in the New York City and the Ramblers, these are all groups that have been around 20, 30 years predating us and have some of the biggest impact, not only in gay society and in sports as well, but just in the development of what it meant to be queer, to take up spaces at different points in time and different moments in history. One thing I think Rain City Soccer has done since its inception and ever since was we were a little bit different than the other clubs in the fact that not only in our mission statement since the very beginning has it been a focus on inclusion and creating space within sports, but really the primary focus has always been soccer and then what? It's the fundamental understanding for us that soccer is a passion, soccer is a sport, soccer is something that we thoroughly enjoy and use as a defining aspect of ourselves, certainly, but that what we do in the world can have larger ramifications and larger echoes in the world around us. So when it means showing up in a community for us, that means what kind of impact do we want to have on the community that we take up? Rain City Soccer for the entire history of the club has always been centered on Cap Hill. If you're familiar with the Seattle area at all, Capitol Hill is the historic LGBTQ neighborhood in the Seattle area. And one of the few cities, actually, I learned this recently from a friend of mine, that has always been queer centric. It has not changed since the original inceptions when people first started settling here into queer groups and queer communities. So it is old and established, not just for the age of the city and where it is, but the fact that the grassroots of queer spaces have always been somewhat fundamental to that part of Seattle. Also, it helps that Cap Hill is very central to us, to Seattle proper in general, and also to the outside areas. You can get over to the east side, to the north, down to Tacoma and south, and over to the islands fairly easily enough, even in regards to Seattle with public transportation, that so many transportation hubs center around Cap Hill. And for us, that's really been fundamental, because so many of our members rely on public transportation to get around, or like many members who live in the Cap Hill area, walk to everywhere they want to go. So for us, being central on Cap Hill is one, it's not only leaning into our roots and leaning into our own very specific community that we can give back to, but also because as we are centraled around Cap Hill, people are able to come to us from all over Seattle without having to navigate driving or necessarily parking or finding spaces to be at. Because if you live in any city, especially if you live in Seattle, parking is always a nightmare. So the ability to be able to reach multiple neighborhoods in a singular way by giving someone a central point or central hub to connect to is really crucial for us. Like I said, that's been a fundamental part of the club since the very beginning. And I'm lucky enough to occupy the seat as the president now. And I have plenty of presidents who came before me, including our original founders. And it has always driven home that mission statement for us of inclusion in soccer means whatever anybody wants it to mean. Rain City Soccer, as far as I know, for size of the club, is the only club that doesn't require membership dues. We handle membership fees in a completely different way. Anyone who considers themselves a member of Rain City Soccer is. That has existed long before me, and it will exist long after. That being said, we can tout numbers like saying we have 800 members, because whether someone comes to one event or 60, there is equal a member as anyone else who is involved, and everybody gets a say and an ability to be able to change the world and how they identify inside of it within the Rain City Soccer sphere. We run events 52 weeks out of the year. Our main event that we run every single week is called our Kickabout Program. It's our friendly scrimmage. It was actually one of the original founding aspects of Rain City Soccer back in the early 2000s. It was called Ripple Effect. And that's essentially what it's been. It's been a ripple effect in our community. Running joke in the Seattle area is if you spend any time at Cal Anderson Park, which is Bobby Morris Playfield, and you have a soccer ball, you'll get to know me whether or not you want to, because the reality is I'll go up to anybody who has a field and introduce myself and introduce the club, what we do and what we have, and invite people to join us, because that's what Kickabouts is intended for. There's no gay card that we're checking. There's no information to verify how queer you are or are not. And in the past 2 years, you know, we have ebbed and flowed like every other group, especially pre, during, and post pandemic, and the fact that our numbers have changed and shifted in a lot of different ways. And one of the conversations that I was having with one of my board members, you know, just last week, was January of last year, we had a kickabout that we had about 12 to 15 people turning up. And the question became, are we still providing things that people are looking for? And a year later, we now tout numbers of 70 plus that turn out to these events. So yeah, there's still desire. There's still an interest. There's still an impact that we make there. And those events are just people participating. On a weekly kickabout event, we get between 20 or 30 people who show up. There's a craft club that shows up on the sidelines. People show up as supporters who are friends or relationships or partners. What we do in soccer is bigger than just soccer.
Unio, could you please introduce us to Kicking Out Transphobia, your connection to it, and the work that you're doing?
Hello, everyone. My name is Junio Martinez. My pronouns are he, him, él. How started my connection with Kicking Out Transphobia? Well, Kicking Out Transphobia started in fall 2020 in Philadelphia, like when the pandemic was started, and we were allowed to go back to play sports. So we were trying to figure out which one could be a good way to get back to soccer. So we decided a charity tournament would be the best idea and the most safe place to start playing soccer again. So we partnered with CASA and Philadelphia Falcons. They partnered together and we host the first Kicking Out Transphobia. We think from the men, from players, the men's and non-binary division. In the first tournament, I remember we raised over 10,000 for Morris Home, which is the like a house for homeless, trans, and non-binary person in Philadelphia. And that's how it started. Later on, we hosted the second year. We have a women's and non-binary division. We hosted the third year. We have more divisions added to the tournament, like recreational, competitive. The tournament continues in Philadelphia as a competition. And then the tournament went to Mexico. We just host the first Kicking Out on Phobia over there. And we also host the first all trans and no binary soccer match in the US in Las Vegas. And yeah, this is kind of like how everything started. And in the next couple months, we have more tournaments happening in DC. We're talking with another organization to partner and have more in other ones. But we know we will be in Seattle this coming in May. And we will be in San Francisco in June, like, and Pride weekend.
Kicking Out Transphobia has been, since I've started the discussion with Unio, has always been intended to be a free event. One, we know trans people and people who are gender nonconforming and people who exist outside of traditional gender norms are more likely than not to have housing instability, income instability, education instability, and we have no desire to amplify that message. If the least thing that I have to do is create a space where people can come for free, the amount of effort and energy is far outweighs what the benefits that we can get from hosting an event like this. The secondary aspect of that has always been, for our friendly tournament, is pay what you can. When you sign up for the tournament, it gives you a suggested price of what helps the club and the tournament to exist and to function and to move forward and to set money aside for this program and other programs going forward. But it's just that, it's a suggestion. We allow anybody to enroll at any rate, and for some people, at no cost. The whole purpose is, if it's a space that you want to be in, it's a space where we want to have you. My job and the rest of the team's job on the board is to find the money to do so. And that's where the other aspect comes in, leaning into partnerships, leaning into foundation, leaning in to get the word out there of what we do and how we do it, because it is just a little bit different than how other clubs are. And that core aspect of us comes in everything that we do and everything that we offer. We have 148 people who are enrolled in the tournament right now, and that enrollment's going to close here in a couple of days, and we're probably going to see 150, perhaps a little bit more. 32 people who are coming from outside of the state of Washington and outside of the Seattle area have requested housing. What our club does is ask anyone who has a little bit of space, a couch, a floor, a sleeping bag, to host someone who's outside of the area who otherwise might not be able to come just because of the cost of travel. What that means is, when we host events like Kicking Out Transphobia and we're unable to raise money for that specific event at that tournament weekend, we reach out to our club and ask who can help, in which case, we've had a list of over 48 volunteers just offer their free time, energy, and effort to help set out and break down and get the word out there for the work that we're doing. When it comes to the tournament as a whole, we have over 80 people who have volunteered their free time and their energy on a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday to make events like these possible. Oftentimes when you hear programs like events or tournaments or matches, and this isn't just limited to soccer and it isn't just limited to queer groups, the things that you hear talked about most are people in leadership. And the reality is, leadership would have very little to do if there weren't people who were volunteering, especially in our scope and especially in our environment. Giving back to our community means something. It means that the food that we're going to provide is all going to be partnered with local grassroots, either companies, organizations, or family-owned businesses that are benefiting and sponsoring from what we do. It means that the intentionality of where we are sending people in the evenings to go for captains meetings and to celebrate whether or not they win or lose at, and whether or not they, you know, got where they wanted, the placement they wanted at the tournament, that the clubs we send them to are not only safe spaces, but spaces that enthusiastically back the club and our mission statement and in making the Seattle queer community a space that we all want it to be. So really, when it comes to an event like our friendly tournament, like Kicking Out Transphobia, it's one tiny lens through which you can see the ways that Seattle is different than other aspects in other places in the world, because what we do here matters. And the representation that we get here in this space as a club is bigger than just the 800 some members that we tout. It's all the other people who don't consider themselves a soccer player or don't consider themselves a member, who really are in the fact that they donate their time, their energy, and their resources to make an event like this possible. The reality is for a club like ours, for the size like ours, most clubs have to run a membership fee because their underlying costs are astronomical. And that's true. And one of the ways that we offset that is while we have teams, our teams negotiate with their leagues independently. They aren't able to have overreach by the club to step in financially because we're not in those spaces because we don't do membership fees. What that does mean is that when the club does do connections and fundraisers and sponsorships and events, we reach out to companies everywhere, and the money that they go to goes to every aspect of the club. Our general funds goes to help players get aid so they can join a league. Allows people to be able to afford to buy new boots, new gear, new soccer bags. It allows people to join Kickabout, to join our skills clinics that we offer for free, to join a team if they're underfunded or underprivileged, and allows them to have access to different forms of transportation to be able to get to events back and forth. A little bit for our club goes a long way. And that's really been a big aspect of everything that we offer and everything that we create. Our next big event that we have that we also run once a year is our Pride season. It's actually an event that was conceptualized and executed by our previous president, Andrew Cotta, the same idea of how could we take the friendly tournament, span it over 8 weeks, use it for only people who live in the Seattle area, and give people an event to do on a Friday evening where they can leave their house, either participate or watch a little bit of gay soccer, and enjoy the community in Cap Hill and all the places that welcomes people coming from the event. What we do resonates all year long, all 52 weeks. And it's really wonderful to see that what we do as a club, an example with Kicking Out Transphobia and aspects like the friendly tournament, can resonate throughout what we do throughout the year. It's not a one-time instance for us to show effort. It is us celebrating the effort that we do 52 weeks out of the year. Like I was mentioning, one of the biggest aspects for us is, first of all, it's fantastic to get 70 people to turn out on a Sunday to come out and play any level scrimmage with soccer. And that's kind of a big aspect for me. Prior to being president, which started in January of this year, I was the Kickabout program manager for last year. And revitalizing that program was a huge aspect to us as a club, because it's the best way to reach most of our members. Every week, anyone can come. There is no sign up. There's no requirement. And there's no barrier to entry. And that's kind of been the defining aspect of our club, especially here in the Seattle area, where costs, just like anywhere else, can be something that's a big deterrent for a lot of people. Our Kickabout runs completely on donations. If people can donate, they can, and oftentimes they can't. And that's completely valid. Of the 70 people roughly who turn up a week, less than half of them can donate. And for us, that's actually the purpose. It's people who otherwise would have not had a space or an ability to feel included in sports simply because of money and funding. That the members who do donate enough to not only cover themselves, but others, and realize how much just a little bit of giving back can make an impact on the world, even if it's just in their community at large. And we bring that kind of style, that kind of representation to everything, especially our tournaments.
What would you say to someone who is in a place that doesn't have an organization like this and wanted to create a safe space such as Kicking Out Transphobia or a Rain City Soccer Club? Do you have any words of wisdom or advice?
Como how we say in Spanish, like cuerpo sano, mente sana, like healthy mind, healthy body. So it's for our organs, for our body, because we cannot keep our mind busy and all the stuff. So such a space like this, like Kicking Out Transphobia, are important for in the sport, because everyone should be able to play the sport they want, regardless gender identity, gender expression, sexual orientation, gender representation. We all should be able to play and show who we are, how we are. And yeah, so it's very important to have this kind of space, because like hearing from everyone after each tournament is like some trans will come to me and will say, I never feel this queer joy. It was amazing. Some of them is like, this is my first time playing a tournament like that. Oh, in Las Vegas, someone was like, I played when I was a kid, and that was like, it was so cool. And stuff like that, like, they, those comments, like, kind of keep you going, keep you, like, it feels good to know what is their reaction and what is, like, what the tournament mission is working towards. And it's good because after each tournament, like, each one, we bring awareness to the community, but we also raise funds for the community.
It's amazing. You've already spoken to kind of the need for these spaces and the need for the accessibility and kind of how the LGBTQ community to begin with is at this disadvantage in all of these different areas, whether it's because they can't find the resources, they don't have the resources, they're trouble with housing, trouble with, like, the list goes on and on of what our community struggles with. And so to have a space that is so geared towards making it accessible is just, it's like unheard of. It's amazing. And you've spoken to how you're creating the space and why the space is necessary, but I was wondering if you could maybe share a few words about, for someone who is looking to jump into one of these spaces, looking to come out and put themselves out there, but maybe is holding themselves back out of fear or not realizing how welcoming these spaces are, what might you have to say to someone like that?
Sure, absolutely. So I was always raised with the mentality that if you have the ability to do something, you have the responsibility to do something. I suppose it's probably one of the reasons why I'm sitting in the chair that I'm sitting in right now. But it's that aspect. And our leaders are very carefully chosen in all aspects of our club with that mentality of mine of being engaging, being inviting, creating space for other people. For the 52 weeks out of the year that we offer our kickabouts, which is open to everyone, as is our skills clinic, as is all of our tournaments. For a lot of people, kickabouts and skills clinic is one where people hear about us the most, or if they Google online queer soccer, it's one of the first things that comes up. Shout out to our communications manager who knows what she's doing with SEO and SEM. But it is also that aspect of the number of times, and I go to usually 50 to 52 kickabouts a year, where I'll meet people and they'll introduce themselves and say, hey, my name is so-and-so. I've heard about Rain City Soccer. I've been checking it out for a while online. I finally got up the courage to come out. And that story I hear over and over and over again. Constantly. And when I'm referring to these numbers of like when kickabout wars, there are weeks where we get more than 70 people who turn up. That's true. What I didn't mention was on a weekly basis, we have between 1 to 5 new people who come up who've never even been with the club before in their life. This is their first event. This is their first time coming out. And it's the same thing that we always do. Myself, Jess, and DeKel, who are our kickabout managers that run the program, are not only are we trained and have trained ourselves to identify when we see new people, but we give them a rundown of what the club is, what the purpose of the club is, the event that they're in, and the focus on community building, especially when it comes to our skills clinic and our kickabout, since that's how so many people hear of us, or that's their first introduction to us. The first thing we do is we take people around and we introduce them to people, because the purpose is community building. The second major aspect that we do is highlight for some people as a refresher some of the skills or some of the requirements around soccer and where they're at. And one of the easiest ways we do that, and that I've kind of taken on of just communicating with people to kind of dispel some stress or some insecurities, is I have people in this field that this is their first time playing soccer. And today is their first time touching a ball. And I have people here who've been playing for more than 30 years. It's our job to balance the teams, to balance the space for you to come into an inviting space and enjoy. So let us worry about the stress and just come here to enjoy an engaging space. You can play as long as you want or as little. I have people who come out and play 10 minutes a week. I have some people who play all 90 minutes on the field. We balance the teams as we need. People can come on and off as they like. And the whole purpose is to get you on and to get you introduced to your team, and to get you to meet other people in the area so you can see the community building that you can do here. I promise you, if you come back on a continual basis, people will remember you and will remember you. And it's going to be a space that you're always going to be welcome in. We have some people who play for a while and realize soccer is the sport for them and go on to join our teams, and that's fantastic. I also have about 60% of my people who come to kickabouts and skills clinics who only invest in those ways of the club. That's perfectly fine. That's exactly what those spaces are for. So keeping the barriers low, keeping the requirement for high-end gear or high-end, you know, options of spending money to join, there's no cost, there's no barrier. And I promise you that we are welcoming and very happy to have you here. The space is designed to be inclusive of everyone, designed to balance teams. And my favorite thing about Kickabout every single week is we put you on a team and introduce you to people and do names and pronouns and get you caught up to speed. And halfway through, we swap the teams up. Because the whole purpose of it is not who's winning or who's losing or by how much or by how little. It's really giving you 90 minutes out of your week where you can spend your life immersed in a queer community that's designed to be inclusive. We try to do that with all of our events.
To everyone who feels that they don't have an organization like say like that, I mean, keep waiting or keep moving. Like, the people is there. I feel like you can start it too. You can start doing those kind of like movements. Like you can start like getting your group together. Sometimes it's going to be two or three, but then it's going to spread. Besides, it's like in the US, we have like more than 22 LGBT soccer clubs. So that says a lot. That's a lot of space. That's a space that there is in the community. So if there is no one, you can always can start one or can find out with your local supporter groups, with your local leagues, because LGBTQI people exist and we are there, or trans people exist, and they are there. There's nothing new. We haven't been playing. I haven't been playing since my 5 years old, since I was 5 years old. And yeah, you just look it up, and sure that those space are there. If not, let's start building those space, because it's like, I remember like some people join the kicking out transphobia, and then they start not working, but they start like putting free time to volunteer in the tournaments, to volunteer in the local leagues, to volunteer in like a club. Someone from Philly moved to Houston. They start a soccer club there. Someone from Philly moved to Baltimore and they started a soccer club there. So it takes one person to one. And it's like, it takes one person to do this one and then everybody will join.
Especially just, I think anyone in this community knows that secure feeling of walking into a queer space when you're kind of like, okay, I'm not the one who sticks out in this scenario. This is a group of people that I can relate to and talk to, and sports is such an important vehicle for that. And I think it's really interesting, and I might be overgeneralizing, but I feel like soccer in general as a sport has been so progressive. And so I don't know if it's just because it's so international and so across so many different cultures, but I just, out of all professional and like non-professional adult leagues, children's leagues, it seems like, especially right now, the NWSL is a good example of just soccer is really growing in popularity and also in opportunity for people who aren't, like you mentioned earlier, just defined by a box of what their gender assigned at birth is.
Yeah. And I, you know, again, this is me personally, and this is where I have to be careful as a president, because what I do affects things to a point, but what the purpose of the club and the purpose of the space is for people to define it for themselves. One of the reasons we joke all the time that we don't check your queer cards or your gay cards is because, one, it doesn't exist. And also, you never know what aspect someone else is going through. You never know just by seeing someone with their partner, first of all, whether or not you're assuming gender, whether or not you're assuming whether or not someone is bisexual, whether or not someone is pansexual, whether or not someone is stealth. And the reality is what we've learned in these spaces is it's none of our business. If you can be in an inclusive space, it shouldn't matter. And if you can't, those are the people we work with sometimes the most. We have some players who come out over and over again in some spaces, and not just teams and not just kickabout, not just skills clinics, where one of the main reminders that we have for people is you know, the lessons that we all learn, and we're all indoctrinated them, especially if you played sports for a number of years. I'm aging myself here, but this summer I'll have been spending 31 years of my life playing soccer. It's a natural part of who I am and how I identify. But it also is one of those aspects of, I've been playing soccer in gendered spaces for many more years than I have in these inclusive spaces, which means that for me, even a friendly reminder of one on, one behind, one ahead, one wide, does more to create space for other people than people realize. There are different ways that we can attack language. There are different ways that we can address insecurities and inevitabilities without making ownership on everyone, by keeping everybody accountable, by keeping everyone on the same page, and really removing those barriers by choosing not to bring them with us. Because I really think that's how most barriers exist in the world. Some of them do naturally exist, but oftentimes in most cases and most scenarios, it's the people and the situations that we create that bring them with us. And it's our job to break those down.
All right, we are going to take a break for a minute to play some trivia before we move on with our conversation. Like I've mentioned in earlier episodes this season, trivia seemed to be the number one thing requested of me on social media. And so that is something I really wanted to bring into the podcast. And so far, so good. So we're going to keep it rolling. Let me know how you feel about it. There will be five trivia questions, all multiple choice. Well, one is true or false, but still multiple choice. And I'll tell you the question, give you the possible answers, and then let you sit on it for a second. And then I'll give you the correct response. So, all right, ready to jump into, oh my God, season 4, episode 3, trivia. So who was the first male American professional soccer player to come out after his retirement in 2011? Your options are A, Jake Daniels, B, David Testo, C, Justin Fashanaugh, or D, Marcus Urban. The correct answer is B. David Testo was the first male American professional soccer player to come out after his retirement in 2011. So our next question, what is the name for the period of time during the 1950s where heightened fear and persecution of homosexuals occurred in both the United States and in the United Kingdom? Your potential answers are A, the Kinsey period, B, Bloody November, C, Silent Rainbow, or D, the Lavender Scare. And the correct answer is D, the Lavender Scare. Okay, our next question is true or false. Gender identity is described as an external expression of one's gender. The correct answer is false. And that was a tricky one. Gender expression is what is described as an external expression of one's gender. Gender identity is your internal self-image of your gender. All right, two trivia questions to go. How are you doing so far? I've got another soccer one for you now. Which openly queer U.S. women's national team member was awarded the Presidential Medal of Freedom in 2022 for her work as both an athlete and with human rights? Your options are A, Alex Morgan, B, Megan Rapinoe, C, Allie Krieger, or D, Sammy Mewis. The correct answer is B, Megan Rapinoe. All right, and your last trivia question for today. As of April 26th, 2023, blank anti-trans bills have been introduced across 49 of the U.S. states. And again, this is just in 2023. So as of April 26th of this year, how many anti-trans bills have been introduced across 49 of the United States? Your options are A, 122, B, 347, C, 512, or D, 601. And unfortunately, the correct answer is 512. So in 2023, 512 anti-trans bills have been introduced across 49 of the U.S. states so far. All right, friends and listeners, I would love to know what topics and conversations are of interest to you, the listeners. So please let us know how you feel and how you did on this week's trivia on social media. As a reminder, you can find us at Oh My God Pod and tell us what kinds of trivia topics you would like to cover. What are you most looking forward to in the future of sports and soccer specifically?
In sports, I want to see like the leagues, like the clubs welcome everybody. Like where people can be themselves, like people can spend. You're playing the sport and you are there because you just want to do something different. You just want to relax. You just want to compete. There are different ways that why the person joins. And I feel that sexual orientation, gender identity, or gender expression should not be an issue for people to join sports, and they should be able to play. What I'm most looking to do is, like, looking to see forward in this world is, like, that we recognize that trans women are women, that trans men are men, and they should be playing and where they feel more comfortable playing, when they feel more safe playing. Yeah, as right now, though, I'm looking to see everybody coming together as a one, as a community, and support each other.
So as I know, we've mentioned a little bit about kind of the bills, the anti-trans and anti just kind of queer in general bills against sports and many other categories of life and human rights. But it's in sports specifically with those going forward. Would you mind sharing maybe just kind of how you keep positive in this space or how you keep what you're looking forward maybe to in sports and in this growth of your organization and other queer and trans athletic spaces?
Sure, absolutely. Our communication manager would love this question. Jess, who's also a really good friend of mine and also in charge of our communications and co-runs our Kickabout program, likes to joke all the time that I am just a naturally positive person, which is not always actually the case. But when it comes to aspects like queer community and queer community building, I'd like to try to stay as positive as possible for kind of a couple different reasons. One, I grew up as a kid who was very aware that I was different at a very young age in a very rural part of the world that was not the most inclusive for being different in any way, shape, or form, especially my way of being different. And that was impactful for me in a number of different ways of not having role models growing up and not having people who identified as queer that I could see as mentors or as people I wanted to emulate or people I wanted to grow like other than celebrities, and realizing that I had to define for myself what hope and what expectation was going to look like has really helped define a lot of my adult life in the aspect of it's a privilege for me able to move from where I lived to where I lived before this, which was the LA County area, and then up here into Seattle, and to be able to exist in a city space like this, having existed in spaces not like this for a lot of my life. And it's a conversation I have quite frequently with a lot of my kiddos from soccer, in the aspect of when you've existed in spaces where everyone seems similar and you seem different, it's very easy to feel disheartened, and it's very easy to see things that come up in the world and the environment at large around us, especially in politics, and be afraid of its impact and be concerned of what it means, because that's valid. It's an important aspect of how we navigate and live throughout the world. That being said, and as a testament to what Jess talks about, I, as a human, have been fortunate enough to live as long as I have as an adult to realize that the world is always changing, that sooner or later, the world will change in the way that we want it to. It's really a matter of time and energy and effort. So if the world is not how I would wish for it to be, part of what I take as a personal responsibility is what can I be doing to help change the world and make at least my portion of it a little bit better? What am I doing to advocate for those spaces for other people and other places where I can't affect? And what can I do to make sure that I am embodying the changes that I want to have in every aspect of life, regardless of whether or not it falls within my scope? The reality is you hear a lot of people throw out the phrase that everyone gets an equal vote. And that's, you know, a convoluted answer for another day. But the reality is voting isn't the beginning and end of the impact that we make in the world. Vote if you can, make the impact that you can, but don't believe that your impact in politics and in the world at large is limited by the ballot that you get once a year. It's impacted by everything we do every single day and how we show up intentionally in the spaces that we do. I'm a big fan that intentionality is everything, and consistency is important. Change comes through consistency. All change is consistently pushing for things to be the way you wish for them to be until they are. That's just time.
Super impactful. Thank you for sharing. And then regular listeners of Oh My God may know this one is coming, but a standard question we ask before I let you go at the end of your interview is, if you knew then what you know now, what would you tell your younger self?
Someone asked me that one a long time ago. What would you say to my younger self? When I was six years, I knew I was gay. I knew they liked to play with, mostly like with the girls, with toys and all the stuff. I knew that I liked that little kid over there. I knew that I find most attractive men. So I would say to my young self, like, don't hide this one for 20 years. Just be yourself as you want to be and be yourself as you want to be. And the people who love you is going to stay with you. If nobody loves you, like most people out there, we love you. Like, we have a big community and we support each other and we stay together. So don't be afraid to be you. Don't be afraid to lose the people who don't love you, because out there is a lot of people who love you. So just be you.
I think to some degree, we all ask ourselves some version of this or some aspect of this. For me, on a daily, sometimes hourly basis. I think the thing that I tell the kiddos I deal with at work and at Rain City Soccer and in like the community building that I do the most is probably the things that I wanted someone to tell me when I was younger. When I think that's what most of us do. We try to change the world that we see into the world that we needed it to be when we were younger. And probably the biggest thing that I tell my kiddos, and I'm almost consistent. I can say I can do this on a daily basis, is how important it is to be kind to yourself. And that means different things in different situations and different scenarios. But when it comes to things like feeling hopeless, when it comes to things like feeling frustrated, when it comes to things of frustration around job and career and life and energy and school and relationships and friendships and everything else, leaning into how being kind to yourself matters changes how you show up in the world, which allows you to create space not only for yourself, but for other people. If you can own your 50% and you can own it in the way that is kindest for you, it allows other people to take up space in a healthier way as well. And then kind of my last soundbite that I'm going to throw out there, because it's funny and it's also absolutely accurately true. We have a running joke, as almost everyone knows in the queer community, that everybody knows somebody who knows somebody who knows somebody. And that's kind of fundamental here more than anywhere else. So several years ago in the middle of the pandemic, as a lot of people know, things were taking off in a lot of different spaces, and there was ways to create digital spaces online for people to meet and greet. And, a friend of mine got me into Discord and got me into joining multiple Discord groups and getting to know different people. And one of those was a queer group, where I had met some people that I just have very good longstanding relationships and friendships with now that have just lasted the test of time in a way that I didn't think Discord was possible for. And one of the friends that I met on that on the Discord that I was on is a friend of mine named Jack, who is a crucial element of Be More Soccer. It just happened to be two people who started a conversation in a queer Discord 3 years ago that we're friends, and we chat on Instagram every now and then and follow each other's, you know, information and stories and highlights. And last year, Jack had posted that their club was doing an event at a tournament that was being held in the Philadelphia area, and that they were able to participate in a small match called Kicking Out Transphobia, which they couldn't wait to see where it was going to go and what it was going to look like. That post is what started all of this. That started Jack and I having a conversation about kicking out transphobia and their opinion and their expression and their enjoyment of the space and how they knew Unio and what it meant, like being in an IGLFA space for soccer and Unio making that connection of as an availability for their team and their grassroots group. And that turned as a reach out for me to get as a friend with Unio on. And then the conversation has sprung to what it is, which has created what we have now, which is that giant queer loop of everybody who knows everybody knows somebody who knows somebody that creates something. So if anything out of all of this conversation can really be a testament to the time and energy and space, community building is everything, because for all of us, that's what's created the queer world that we have today. That's what's going to continue to create the queer world, because the beautiful thing about the queer experience is everybody has nothing in common except for the one thing that for some of us defines us the most in the world. And that is a tiny little strand that can make the biggest impact in the world.
Wow. Thank you so much for sharing. And thank you so much for your time and your words. And I really appreciate your intentionality in sharing everything you did.
I appreciate it, Bo.
Could you share where people could find more about Rain City Soccer?
Yeah, absolutely. So we are on social media. I'm told we have a Facebook account. I don't know, but I am told we have a Facebook account. We also have an Instagram account. Our Instagram is probably the easiest way to follow us on social media, at least from my perspective. We have our own Discord as well. Anyone is welcome inside of the Discord, and it's a great way to see some of the communication that naturally happens in the language that goes on there. The easiest way to find a central point of information is on our website. We have raincitysoccer.org. Which is our organization's website, and everything, anything Rain City Soccer related will always be referenced there. We have a lot of different ways that you can do things. And when it comes to things like what I've been referring to, some of the events that we have, there's a calendar on our website where you can check in. You can also download that calendar and it uploads into your phone. There are different ways of being involved that you can look at on the website. And one of the easiest things I'll throw out there for anybody is if you spend any amount of time on our website, you'll see my email is everywhere on there. And that's one of the reasons why I want to be reachable. I want to be approachable, and I want people to feel like they have someone they can reach out to. I get roughly 5 to 10 emails a week of people reaching out for the first time with questions regarding the club or questioning regarding the involvement in certain groups and programs. I'm very intentional about getting back to those people first and either getting them in touch with the right person or showing them inclusivity and the next event that they are more than welcome to join us at.
Fantastic. Okay, so we're going to move into the last bit of our episode, and that is the affirmation. If you could please situate yourself in a comfortable situation. If you're driving or something like that, please be mindful of the road and your attention. But for those safely not operating motor vehicles or other heavy machinery, please close your eyes, take a deep breath, and I want you to repeat after me out loud if it is safe and comfortable to do so. Here we go. It is never too late to be myself. I am allowed to explore my identity at all stages of life. Change is okay. All right, we're going to repeat that one more time. It is never too late to be myself. I am allowed to explore my identity at all stages of life. Change is okay. Okay, take one more deep breath and exhale, and that's it for today's affirmation. Thank you for listening to this episode all the way through. Please remember to check out Kicking Out Transphobia and Rain City Soccer, and you can find out more information at raincitysoccer.org. You can also find both organizations on social media at Kicking Out Transphobia or at rain_city_soccer_club. Thank you again so much to both Unio and Salem for joining us to talk about trans athletics, soccer, and even more, specifically the Kicking Out Transphobia tournament occurring right here in Seattle on May 20th. To recap what I am personally taking out of today's conversation, it is really just about the importance of showing up and being there for your community, of having all of these different outlets and opportunities for people to create that community space and network, and that these organizations and ideas are simultaneously have been around since the 90s, but have also just been being created, and there's still room for so many more, and for people to really find a place that they can be comfortable and find home within. So I think it's really important, if you're someone who is looking for one of these spaces or wants to create one of these spaces, that you follow through and do that, because chances are, if it's something that you're looking for or you might need, there are plenty of other people who feel the same way. So that being said, you can check us out at www.bohmygod.com. Follow us on social media at BohMyGodPod. If you listen to us on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, leave us a review. We appreciate all feedback. Love ya, and catch you next time. That's incredible. And I have to put my thoughts together, because you like answered all of my questions ahead of time. So I